Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight!
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am?
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
I've been reading all your press clippings and listening to tapes of your shows for weeks. And you're really something. You're very funny.
I try to amuse.
I listen to your show all the time. I think you're a sick, foul mouth, disgusting man. And you make people really nauseous 365 days a year.
Man, you're so funny, man. That's why I love to listen to your show. That's why all the kids listen to you, man. Plus, you know, these goons push you around. You know, all the kids listen to you. You are the best thing on the radio!
We're going to go to a message. I'll be right back after I shoot up.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome. Join anytime, Matt.
Welcome.
To the Brad Westmar Show. And Todd's in a good mood tonight, Matt.
He's kind of fired up in there.
He's got a chipper tonight, and it's weird because he said, "Oh, it's been a long day." I was like, "It's been a long life." But Todd's not ready to give up on life, are you, Todd?
No, sir.
Todd, was it a year ago that you almost died?
1 year ago on April 27th, I was under the knife, baby.
But we're glad to have you here.
And I'm glad to be here.
Because without you, we'd have no chair squeaks.
That's right.
No mouse squeaks.
Nothing fun.
No show.
It'd be crap.
And we wouldn't be able to hear from this guy.
Hello, everybody. This is George Jones.
Yeah.
$60.
No show, Jones.
He stopped loving her today.
I couldn't stop singing this song last week.
They placed a wreath upon his door. Soon they'll carry him away.
This is the Shooter Jennings version of it.
But he stopped loving her today.
So at the end, George decides to ask Shooter a question.
When are we going to get paid for this, you reckon?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, another old great. Gone. No show, Jones. I remember the stories from Jeff Hurst Venkman from the Big Dumb Fun Show. He apparently had some experience with George Jones at the casino where he worked at one time. Apparently, they would lose George in the casino at some point or another. And he was famous for being no-show Jones because he would just not show up for his shows. And, of course, it would happen quite a bit at the casino because he would end up in the casino gambling. And it would happen, I guess, that Mrs. Jones, George's third or fourth wife, the last wife, would come searching at the front desk for, "Has anyone seen my husband? Have you seen George Jones? Do you know where George is at?" "Well, Mrs. Jones, he's at the poker table right now. He's got a show in 5 minutes." "Well, he's right over there." It was something like that was the way the stories went, apparently.
So is that where you got the no-show Jones?
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because I thought that was just a name that Venkman had come up with. And and it was so funny because I posted something on Facebook about it. And then another guy walked by my office at work who doesn't know Venkman, doesn't even know Brad Westmar for that matter, and he comes by and he goes, "Oh, you know, no show Jones died." I'm like, see, apparently it's a common. I mean, apparently it's not just Venkman who made up that name. So apparently it's a well-known thing that George Jones would accidentally miss some of his concerts. He also was known to take a few drinks every once in a while. So
Yeah.
I was never.
Yeah, I heard that one a time or two.
Yeah, as did Glenn Campbell. And it's funny that George Jones has passed on because Glenn Campbell's not doing well either, from what I've heard and read.
Yeah.
And
I thought about you last week when I read that. I figured you might be a little upset.
I don't know if you saw the Facebook post, but the Facebook post literally looked like he had died from his fan site. It was a very ominous picture of Glenn Campbell. And then it said something about this is very sad news. Well, nobody read the rest of it. They just assumed Glenn Campbell had died. Well, what it was they're going to release, he's going to release what will probably be his last album here this year. So that's the sad news. But half the people were posting like and then commenting saying, oh, RIP Glenn. Glenn, you were the best. And I did the same thing for a second there. I'm like, oh, God, Glenn Campbell died. I miss you, Glenn Campbell, already. I'm going to dedicate the rest of the week to you on my iPod, you know? And then I read it a little bit further. Come to find out, no, he didn't die. It just looked like he had died the way they posted it. Turns out he's just old and has Alzheimer's and is not doing well. But I do have a bad feeling that he will have a turn for the worse sooner than later. And at times like these, I wish we had a Deadpool. Because
should we start one?
No, it's not.
No, I don't believe in those things, dude.
It's creepy.
Kind of playing with fire.
Well, I'd have Todd in mine.
Thanks.
So just because it could happen at any moment. You never know.
You have too much influence on that, so I don't think so.
That's probably
true. I'd veto that draft pick.
Very good point. Very good point. Well, moving on from death, but yeah, I'm afraid, mark my words, things aren't looking good for Glenn Campbell, I'm afraid to say. So here's a question. I have a couple of things I just want to point out real quick before we get moving on with the show. Have you ever thought to yourself, because you know I hate traffic. Most people hate traffic. The larger of a city you live in, the more annoyed you are by traffic. Todd, traffic is one of Todd's excuses. So, like, when he's running late, it becomes, oh, the traffic. You know, I can't believe it. I'm, like, thinking, no, you just left too late. But there are times when traffic is bad out there in Kansas City. And I got to thinking to myself recently, why do these traffic jams happen? Well, sometimes it's because of an accident. Clearly, an accident's happened. Maybe they're down to one lane. Those kinds of things are going to happen. But from time to time, you have traffic backups that happen for no other reason other than the fact that there's somebody up front just driving like an idiot. And you never really see that, but you know it's happening because you get up there and there's nothing to speak of once the traffic speeds back up again. Okay? So my question is, don't you think, how dumb of a driver do you have to be to be tootling along at apparently 25 miles an hour with all these people behind you? At what point do you look in your rearview mirror and see that you're causing a 3-mile backup of traffic and go, holy crap, there's nobody in front of me. This is me causing this problem. And finally speed up and get going so the traffic can move. Why do people not do that?
I don't know how you guys do it day in and day out in a big city, because it drives me nuts. Just yesterday, I was going over a bridge here in town. And I've got one person in the right lane doing 35 in a 45, person in the left lane doing 37 in the 45, and I am stuck. And I have nowhere to go. Nobody's going to pass the other one. And I can't imagine dealing with stuff like that every single day.
And it's funny because we're a small city, you know, but way bigger than Sioux City. And it's funny you bring up your town, because I just tweeted the other day in the middle of traffic that Kansas City was built. Their highway system was built for a town of 80,000 people. I mean, that's how bad. I mean, the interstates and the roads are no wider and no bigger here than they are in Sioux City, Iowa, a town of 85,000 people or so. It's horrible. And again, we're a small city compared to Houston, Dallas, Chicago, you know. But I just don't understand how stupid you have to be causing a traffic backup. At what point do you think maybe you should look behind you to see what kind of jam you might be causing, because somebody has to be in the lead, right? I mean, it's not a never-ending line of traffic, you know?
Right.
Somebody has to be causing this problem up front. Dumbass, you know? Don't you just
isn't that the worst when you do finally get to a point where you realize, okay, there's got to be an accident or something up there, and then you get up there and there is nothing?
Nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. That is so frustrating. That happens in Denver every time I go up there.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I forgot to mention Denver, you know, Denver traffic as well. Absolutely. But at least Denver traffic, at least Dallas, at least Houston has bajillion lanes in their interstate and stuff. At least they try. At least they built it like they're a city. You know, here in, like I said, in Kansas City, it's, Todd, correct me if I'm wrong, it's built like a small town, right?
It is. It's insane.
It's horrible. And there's parts that go right through the heart of the city that are like little narrow two-laners. It's ridiculous. So it's horrible. But anyway, I wanted to get that off. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's terrible. Another annoying thing that I must mention, only because there is a sports talk radio host here in Kansas City that says this word this way. I'm annoyed. Maybe it's the DJ in me, because I know I probably pronounce some words roughly sometimes. But I have pet peeves. You know, the words that are always misspelled wrong, like most commonly misspelled word in my book is definitely. People that don't know how to spell definitely, they spell it with an A-T-E instead of the N-I-T. You know what I mean? N-I-T-E.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me, but it's a common, common mistake. But one word that I hear mispronounced quite a bit, and I think a lot of it just has to do with the way things roll off the tongue, but there's a guy here in town that pronounces the word important, important. And it just sounds, he's throwing a D in there. It just sounds wrong, important. And he's a radio guy. It's not important. Yeah. It's. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I've heard people say it that way before. That's just weird.
It's really weird. I don't know why I have these really bad pet peeves, but these bad pet peeves are what built this show. So I've
you are a stickler for all things mispronounced.
I know.
You know, used improperly. You are a stickler.
I'm a stickler, and at the same time, I will admit I am probably occasionally guilty. Like I will sometimes speak before I think. Like I will try to use a phrase that I don't understand or I don't really quite have right in my head, and I'll spew it out incorrectly, and it'll be embarrassing, or I'll use a word incorrectly. I've had Jared call me on that before. So I mean, it's funny, because what's that?
It's shocking.
I know, because Jared would never bring something up like that.
Hey guys, let's just all admit it, okay? Dwight's better than us.
But he's gone, unfortunately. We miss him in ways. We do. Want him to know that if he's listening, even though he's not. So, a prime example of people doing stupid things with phrases, and I think I probably told this story before, but probably not on this show. A coworker of mine that I've had for 10 years, she heard me one time years ago use the phrase, call him butter because he's on a roll, which I think was originated by maybe Stuart Scott.
It sounds like it could be him.
Call me butter or call him butter because he's on a roll. Okay. Well, you know, people hear things like that. She heard that and she thought it was funny. Of course, she had to think about it for a minute. Oh, that's clever. That's funny. It's like, well, I didn't write it. It came from SportsCenter. And so then a little bit later, I heard her on the phone with somebody and they were doing something. And I heard her go, oh, you want some butter with that roll? And I'm like, no, I'm in the background going, no, no. It just, you know, if you don't get it, you shouldn't say it. And like I said, I'll fall guilty to that sometimes too. But
yeah, you know, a lot of things are just, they're commonly misspoke. They're not like, we had a little deal a couple weeks ago. Could care less and couldn't care less.
Yeah.
You know, and so often you hear it incorrectly that even though you know that you're saying it wrong.
Right.
You know, it's just, you hear it so often the other way, and it's just, it's almost commonplace to be incorrect with something like that. So you can't fault everybody.
No,
for that.
You can't. And I agree. I called you out on it. But at the same time, I will admit when I do use that statement, which I don't very often, but if I do, I guarantee you I'm thinking about it before I say it because of what you just said, because it's so commonly misdone that you have to think about which way is the right way. And so I'm totally with you on
that. It's just people getting, you know, talking too quickly.
Yep. Absolutely. Here's a new one for you, too. You know, on like Madden, the PlayStation games, the Xbox games, the baseball games and stuff, they've gotten more intricate at times, which I don't really play them that much anymore. And I know you don't either, but they've gotten more intricate with the injuries of the players and stuff like that, to where they'll actually have some kind of interesting injuries and things like that that are not a little more realistic, I guess. But you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
I guess today we've come up with a new one. I wasn't sure if this was the reason why he was out of the lineup yesterday, but this is official, which I heard on my way here to the studio tonight. Chris Getz is out of the lineup again for Elliot Johnson. Have you heard the reason why?
No, I haven't.
Chris Getz will be a scratch from tonight's lineup due to seasonal allergies.
Are you serious?
I would not lie to you about something like that. He is out due to seasonal allergies. Allergies. Again, seasonal.
The C word.
Seasonal allergies.
Does that mean I can stay home tomorrow?
Sure. Why not?
I will.
Yeah, just call the boss and tell him you'll be out.
Man.
Due to
He's probably, I wish I had that kind of that kind of a work setup.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And the thing is too, it's funny. What would be even funnier than this? We got to go to the next step with this. I hope that would be cool if Chris Getz ended up on the disabled list with seasonal allergies. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome.
Man, I'll tell you what. Like it. I like it.
Something tells me if it weren't Chris Getz, they'd be like, you know what? Here, we're going to double up your allergy meds. Get on out there.
It sounds like something J.D. Drew would come up with, not Chris Getz, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Somebody, some D-bag, Barry Bonds, some D-bag who's just a prima donna, you know? But not Chris Getz. Chris Getz, allergies. I know.
I hadn't heard that one. That's a new one. I've heard all kinds of injuries from, you know, hurting your back while sneezing to, you know, video game injuries, to all the kinds of weird stuff. But I can't honestly say I've never heard somebody sit out because of allergies.
I mean, you got bypass surgery, seasonal allergies. Which would you think is more common to keep you out of the lineup?
The only thing I would give him a break on, though, is if it were causing him a migraine.
If you believe in migraines, I mean... Shame on me. I know. I'm terrible. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I used to think migraines were something you believed in. It was like Jesus, you know?
I can honestly... I've get them. If I don't take my allergy stuff, and I used to get them like very rarely, but I would get them before I figured out how much of an issue I was having with the allergy.
Can you...
They suck.
And I don't want to get onto a long, long tangent about migraines because I hate to be a smartass and say that you either believe in migraines or you don't. But how bad is a migraine? I mean, give me, in 10 seconds or less, tell me how bad your migraines are.
I haven't had one in a couple years. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood.
Good for you.
But they're just... debilitating. You can't do anything with them. It's like dark room, lay down, go to sleep if you can. Sleep them off.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, Stacy gets them, and I know they really affect her, and she fights through them better than I ever could. And I've only had, I bet, just a few in my life, but they were take the most powerful headache stuff you can get and try to just go to sleep and hope you wake up feeling better.
A lot worse than my hangover shakes and things like that that you've seen.
Oh. I take a hangover every day for a week before one migraine.
I guess, you know, at least you're consistent in what it's like from what I've heard. I do think that some people may bring them on themselves. I think that a lot of them are probably stress caused. I'm not saying that you or your wives are necessarily, but I think that there are some people that let me put it to you this way. If one was already a hypochondriac, I can see where you could bring on migraines yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying where some people, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, you know. I suppose, you know. I suppose you could.
I don't know. I'm just talking on my butt. But, I mean, again, it's...
Dr. Brad.
Exactly. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in migraines? You got to believe in one or the other. But no.
You got to pick one.
That's right. You pick one or the other.
Segment. Yeah. Pick one.
And speaking of which, too, talking about having headaches and things like that, this weather, I'm telling you right now, I am close to suicidal. Dino Dan has already asked to take over the show if I kill myself because I'm this close to killing myself. I hear the weather's not good up there already in Iowa.
Our first measurable May snow
since
here in Sioux City since 1947.
Oh my God. Awful.
Yep.
It's
not much. It's not sticking to the roads, but on the grass you've got enough to measure out an inch.
Yeah, I've seen pictures already. Yeah,
sucks.
It's unfortunate, and we're gonna get some crappy weather here the next couple of days too. It's brutal. It's awful. I never knew how depressing it can get. I mean, it's been so gorgeous here the last 3 days, and mm-hmm. it makes you feel so happy and so good. But you know what? I still didn't feel happy and good because I knew it was going to turn to crap again for a few days and over the weekend again too. It's just awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Are you saying something there, Todd?
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I think it's been a really bizarre winter, and it's really been a test of our endurance because it seems like every time we get a glimmer of hope, it's yanked out like a rug under our feet.
That's funny. He mentioned endurance and yanked out all in the same sentence. What was that?
Really?
You did.
Really?
You did. And speaking of that.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, so let's not talk about it anymore, but hopefully it'll all pass. And here after this, these next few days, we'll hopefully by the time you hear this show out there, things will be clearing off and finally getting into a decent spring. So, a couple of things we're doing tonight. I promised this last week, and I thought, you know what? Don't have a lot going on. I'm going to do it. I'm going to hammer the Bon Jovi thing home tonight. I'm going to give you my on-air review with audio clips of the entire new Bon Jovi album, because we can. Is what we're going to
do. Because you can.
Because I can. Exactly. So I'm going to do that here coming up. But first, I have something we left off last week. I'm not sure how much this will go over. 13 surprising marriage laws you might be breaking right now. I honestly have not read through these yet, so this is all going to be new to me too, Matt. So if it flops, I take the blame. Sometimes it's fun for me to not see what's coming up too. So okay. We'll see what we got here. First of all, it says, were you married on a dare? Here, you can take it back. In Delaware, it's legal to obtain an annulment if you got married on a dare or as a prank. The official law states that a marriage may be annulled if, quote, one or both parties enter the marriage, I lost that page, as a dare, I guess.
Not a lot to do in Delaware.
No, apparently not. Apparently not.
Except you gotta make married. A law about it.
Exactly. Or on a jest or a dare, it says. Okay. It says, if you like it, then you shouldn't put a ring on it. Don Juan's beware. Under South Carolina's Offenses Against Morality and Decency Act, it's considered a misdemeanor for a man over the age of 16 to propose to a woman in order to seduce her.
Oh, creepy.
I see. Put those pajamas back on, please. It may have moved past the whole witch thing, but the town of Salem, Massachusetts has retained its prudishness. It's illegal for a married couple to sleep nude in a rented room. So, hotel, forget it. Even though you're married.
It's a boring vacation.
No kidding. Wouldn't it be fun, though, to go to Salem and do that even just because you know it's illegal?
Chain the door. That's all I got to say.
If you want some press, seriously, if you want some press, you just go to Salem, you do that, then you call the cops and tell them you're doing it, have them come in and arrest you, and then you just call the press. You know,
what's the penalty? I'm scared to find out what the penalty
That's
is.
That's a good
with
question.
Their history.
They do say, did they say misdemeanor? No, they don't even say if it's a misdemeanor or not. You got to figure it is, but who knows? Yeah. You got a permission slip for those dentures, lady? In Vermont, a wife must obtain written permission from her husband before wearing false teeth.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. Here, you'd better be nice to your mother-in-law. In Wichita, Kansas, I am a lineman for the county. The mistreatment of mothers-in-law can be used as grounds for divorce. Interesting. Interesting. I'm not sure how old these are. All the pictures attached to these are really old pictures. So maybe there aren't. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe they're not legit anymore. I don't know. They say they are, though. Ready, aim, fire. In the town of Truro on Cape Cod, the groom-to-be must prove his manliness before marriage by hunting and killing either 6 blackbirds or 3 crows. That proves your manliness right there. Not 6 tigers and 3 bears.
Blackbirds and crows, huh?
Blackbirds and crows, my friend. Yes.
I think I could do that.
I think you could. I could, too.
Where was that?
That's in Cape Cod. Truro in Cape Cod. And don't forget, again, it said either crows or...
Hello there.
Blackbirds. Exactly. Drunk or just stupid, sober up before you say, I do. If the Mississippi County Clerk issuing your marriage license believes that you or your wife or significant other is drunk, insane, or an imbecile, he or she can deny you the license. And if that's the case, avoid getting hitched in Tennessee, too. Which actually was the first time I got married in...
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Tennessee. So... unfortunately, they didn't think we were drunk, insane, or an imbecile, which is surprising when you think about it. Fourth time, not a charm, Matt. After three failed marriages, it's probably time to tell each other goodbye. Kentucky is helping its women make smarter decisions by making it illegal to marry the same man four times. Again, yeah. They show a picture of Elizabeth Taylor, by the way. No kidding. They do.
You know, you're it's probably on you at that point, too.
I mean,
they really have to make a law at that point.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And if those people suffered enough.
No kidding. Kentucky Derby's all they got. Here, kissing cousins can legally marry. First cousins are allowed to marry in Utah only if they are over 65 years old. Apparently, meaning they're infertile.
Okay.
Meaning they're infertile, I guess, is what it says here. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Miss Cleo, can't pronounce you man and wife in this town. Before you give your favorite psychic a ring, know that it's illegal for a palm reader or a psychic to officiate and marry people in the town of New Orleans. So.
Oh.
Had no idea. Here, you could have gotten married before you could play scratch-off lottery. For a brief period in 2007 to 2008, it was legal in Arkansas for children under the age of 18 to get married with parental consent. We anticipate a reality series once MTV discovers this actually happened, they say. Be true. A couple more here real quick before the break. I love you wherever you are. To facilitate weddings for servicemen and women who may be abroad, California, Colorado, Texas, and Montana allow marriage by proxy, which means either the groom or the bride can have someone attend the ceremony in his or her place. Montana even allows double proxy weddings where neither party needs to be present. Okay. They don't say what happens.
A little awkward.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wonder how they do that in the honeymoon.
Yeah.
surrogate, no. And finally, no PDA on the Lord's Day. Save the romantic walk in the park for Saturday. It's illegal to smooch your wife in public on Sundays in Hotford, Connecticut. Yeah. What it says. There you have it. Yep. 13. Would you call them surprising, Matt? 13 surprising marriage laws?
Yeah, I would say there's a few towns in this country that might need to flesh out the old law book a little bit.
I would think it would be a good idea, yes. Let's go ahead and take a break and come back, and I will give you my Bon Jovi review, because I can. We will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
Girls, have you ever been out on a date so bad that you wanted to hide under the table or chew your arm off to get away? You know what I'm talking about. You're too embarrassed to bring him home to meet the family because you never know what that dumbass will say next? Well, say goodbye to Mr. Wrong. They'll all be Mr. Rights from now on.
Dad, this is Jimmy.
Hey there, Pops. What's up? Nice to meet you, Jimmy. Carlos told me a lot about you.
Man, your hot ass of a girl sure knows how to rock my world. And those
What the hell's wrong with you?
I meant to say it's really a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Walker. Carla here sure is a gem.
Introducing our revolutionary new patented brainwave-altering device. Quickly and efficiently, it stabilizes right brain and left brain activity and eliminates that unwanted male genetic Tourette's. With the click of a button, you can zap any guy into the man of your dream. Just point the control towards its head and zap him right. Our system is guaranteed to work every time. It's small enough to fit into your purse or pocket, and you'll never know what hit him.
Yo, bitch, get over here, bend down in front of me, and start... Honey, you look wonderful tonight. And did I tell you, you're always right?
Carla, where on earth did you find such a nice young man?
It worked on my boyfriend, and it'll work on yours, or your brother, or your boss. They make great stocking stuffers, hostess thank yous, and bridal shower gifts. Date with confidence. This holiday, give the gift of peace of mind. Call 1-800-ZAP-HIM. Zap him right. Making the world a safer place to date.
May cause brain damage, blurred vision, nosebleeds, and uncontrollable emotional outbursts. Not to be used on children or the elderly. We do not guarantee this product if used inappropriately. Cannot be administered more than once in a 24-hour period. Keep away from hamsters, gerbils, and small ferrets.
Hating pirates since 2005. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Magic Matt, and Todd Cheats in the Batcave bringing you another show. Very, very soon, Magic Matt will literally be physically in studio for a couple of weeks, and I cannot wait, my friend.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fantastic. We maybe even set up some video cameras and do a little little videotaping for the first time ever of all three of us in studio at the same time. Be cool.
We better mark that occasion.
I think we should. Speaking of which, did your totally subject for off mic, but does your little iPod, does it take video or is it too old for that?
It's too old for that.
Okay, wasn't sure. Okay, never mind. Moving right along. Bon Jovi has a new album. I've hated it since day one, and I've continued to complain about Bon Jovi and John and how short he is and how bad his hair is and how Richie has gotten fed up with it and Richie Sambora has left the band and God knows when he's going to come back. No news on that, I assume.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything.
Shocked. Because when you have to play this goddamn song every night, you wouldn't want to come to work either. My God. I don't want to be another wave in the ocean. God. I am a rock, not just another grain of sand. What do you think, Todd?
God, is this a Christian band?
Jars of Clay. And the guitar work. Ding, 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 ding. Matt could play this on guitar. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding. That may have been a producer problem, though, because sometimes producers force them to change their riffs a little like
you know,
that.
Honestly, does John have total control? Matt?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If this is what John wants, believe me.
There's nothing on that CD that he didn't approve.
Yeah, I agree. The worst part about this, besides the hook, besides the cheesiness, is the guitar solo is so lame, and it gets played twice. And that was the joke that I made with you, that I wouldn't come to work either. I had to play this solo twice every night. We got to get to the solo here before we move on, because it's just awful. And this chorus, wave in the ocean. I'm a rock, not just another what? That's just awful. Seriously, cheese. It's just cheese, man. And you know it's cheese, Matt. It's cheese. Come on.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
Yeah, this is the cheesiest song on here, no doubt.
That might be the cheesiest song they've ever done.
Yeah, I can't think of a cheesier one.
We Weren't Born to Follow is close.
Yeah, but we're definitely moving in that direction.
One,
yeah,
this one blows it out of the water.
It does. Now, we're going to get to both yours and my favorite track next, but first we got to hear this really bad guitar solo too, and then we'll go ahead and move on to track number two. And I promise not to take this much time on every song, but this is like the worst here. It's just awful. Okay. We got a little... I'd love to move a mountain, Matt.
I knew that.
Oh, this reminds me. I mean, I can hear Kiss singing this song. Kiss has gotten pretty cheesy at times too. No, they have. They've gotten kind of... And I love Kiss.
God gave rock and roll to you.
Here we go.
Which, by the way, was a Christian song.
Here's a solo. Oh. Acapella. Oh. Drum. Drum. Worst song by Bon Jovi ever. Okay, I got us. Okay. But do we agree with that at least, I guess. So
worst song ever? No.
Worst song by them. Not no, it's
their worst song? No.
Oh, I guess it's not their worst song. It's their cheesiest song ever.
Yeah.
So here's the song we like. I think the reason we like this is it has a slight older feel to it, and it doesn't fit the rest of the album because of it, my opinion.
No.
You know?
No, there's some grit to this one.
There is. But the rest of it just doesn't fit. But it's the best song on the album, and I haven't heard anybody else talk about this song, but except you and me.
We'll never hear it on the radio.
No. It's the one that should be on the radio, but it's not. So here's a little hook for you. I hope I don't sell any albums for him by doing this.
Better watch iTunes.
No
this
kidding.
Weekend. Watch the charts.
This is a good song, though.
And yeah, that's a really good song.
It really
it's,
is.
It's got the easily the best guitar solo in the last two or three albums.
I would agree with that, too. Now, but one thing about that song, I'm going to play it back here. I'm going to start comparing songs to other songs. And this song does have a bit of a Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day feel to it. Okay?
This one?
Yes. The tempo, the guitar. You agree with that? What's that, Todd?
Same chords.
Yeah, it's probably maybe the same chords for all I can tell you. But it's definitely got the same feel to it as Boulevard of Broken Dreams. But I like the song so much that I'm not going to give them a... I'm not going to give him a minus. I'm giving that song a five. So, I mean, because we can, I gave a zero. I'm giving I'm With You a five.
A zero?
Oh, I hate that song. It's horrible. It's horrible, and I can't get away from it. It's everywhere. So, the third song is called What About Now? And that's actually the name of the album, right? Because What About Now? Yeah. Which I always confuse it with the Chris Daughtry song, the Daughtry song. What About Now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this song... It's just very middle of the road. This song to me sounds like every other Bon Jovi song on the last couple of two or three albums. You know?
Yeah. Just eh.
Exactly. I give it a three. So. And
that's fair.
One of the problems that I have with this album that you seem to like is it's very John Shanks-y, which. He was the guy that they did when they first really started to change their sound back in the Have a Nice Day area, right?
Have
a Nice Day. John Shanks did a lot of that album, and this John Shanks guy, I thought, destroyed them because I didn't like most of that album. I thought it was horrible. And he's on this album quite a bit, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Well, I think about half of it, maybe.
Okay. Well, he did this song here with them, and this... This is track four, and in my opinion, this is a very John Shanks-y song, and John Shanks did co-write this, right? I'm pretty sure. Yeah. This is called Pictures of You. Yeah. This song I dropped down to a two. Not a big fan of this song either. What about you, Matt?
I give this one a three.
Okay.
It's just another one. It's just kind of just kind of okay. It's I don't know what he's talking about. This is my problem with a couple of these songs.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're decent enough songs, except that they're just flat out of things to say.
Exactly.
He's trying too hard. It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Painting pictures of you?
Yep. I think... Yeah. But the chicks dig it. See, that's the problem.
That is the problem.
Yes.
But, you know, when they tried to do a like the last, the Circle was billed as an old rock Bon Jovi, Back to Their Roots CD, and that was just a political commentary and not a very good one at that.
And what they meant by going back to the old rootsy rock of Bon Jovi was we got the Power Mouth out for a song. Wow. That's all they meant when they said that, you know.
Caleb and I always make fun of that one because it's like, there are clear, like, ripping off their own songs in
yes,
that one.
Yes, they are. Exactly. The only thing intricate about this song, Pictures of You, is he breaks into some chords that you can hear are not in the same key, some out-of-key chords and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of a little bit different for Bon Jovi, and that's just very John Shanks-y. So track five is a song that I gave... Let's ask Matt first what he gives this slow...
Now,
song.
I like this song.
I knew you would. But
I thought the ballads they did on this CD were the best ones they've done in a while.
But you believe in Jesus and not migraines. So that's maybe why. Because this song's called Amen, right?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I mean, I get liking songs with maybe some meaning and stuff like that. But I fall asleep during most ballads these days, a lot of them. And... I give you kudos for liking it, but I give this one a one. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Give you kudos for having the balls.
Like
to the balls to like it, but this cat doesn't need to hear them do it. There's been enough Big and Rich doing amens in their songs. I don't need to hear Bon Jovi do it now. 30 years later. I don't. So now track six, this is interesting. This I had an interesting note with this one. This one's called "That's What the Water Made Me." And the first thing I'll say as I listened to it was the title and even just the overall feel of this song reminds me a lot of their song called "Just Older" from Crush, which was a song basically, I like the bed I'm sleeping in, just like me, it's broken in, it's like me, I'm just older. Song. Yeah. Well, this song kind of reminds me of that song. So I looked at it, I'm like, hey, this song is, I'm giving it a 2.5, so it's right there in the middle of the road for me, you know. I'm like, oh, look, Billy Falcon co-wrote this with him. I'm like, well, I know who Billy Falcon is, because Billy Falcon had co-written some other songs with Bon Jovi. He also had a song that was a big, not a big hit, but it was a hit. I had the album. Somebody that I know stole the album when I got divorced from her.
This is Amy, if you don't remember who I am.
Billy Falcon had a song called Power Windows in 1991 on the Billboard charts, and you might recognize the song. John Bon Jovi actually produced this song in 91. So I knew there was a connection between this guy named Billy Falcon and John Bon Jovi. This is a great song. Remember this song? It was also redone as a country song by John Barry eventually, too. But his wife is playing tennis and his kids are off at school. He drives home to his empty house. It's by his empty swimming pool. But he's got
power windows. He's got I know the country version, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a power bed. Push a button and it shakes. He's got no one to talk to. Empty rolling down his face. I'd always liked Billy Falcon, so when I heard this song, this That's What the Water Made Me, which I'll go back to that now, and I said, hey, Billy Falcon, and this song kind of reminds me of Just Older, though. So I went back and looked to see where Billy Falcon's songwriting credits were with Bon Jovi. Guess what Billy Falcon co-wrote with Bon Jovi back on the Crush album?
Just Older.
Yes. So, score me 1 point for even recognizing the similarities there. So, he also co-wrote Last Man Standing, Everybody's Broken, When We Were Beautiful, and Superman Tonight from the Circle album. So,
can you explain this one to me?
This song?
That's What the Water Made Me? I don't get it.
I have no idea. I'm with you.
Now, they play this one live.
I can see that.
On this tour.
Yeah. Well, they used to play Just Older live, too. See? I mean...
Yeah.
Now... That's there. I need to pull them some more songs here, so bear with me here. So that's that so far. I would say that if you add up my numbers, 0, a 5, a 3, a 2, a 1, a 2.5 so far, that's 8, that's 10, 11, 13.5. What's 13.5 divided by 6? I've got it about a 2.5 or so
right.
Far. So
not good.
Not very good, no. Track 7, now I listened to this song right away, and I'm like, oh, this song reminds me of another Bon Jovi song. Can you guess which one?
Something off of Lost Highway.
Actually, no.
Really?
But I can see why you would think that.
This is like a leftover off of...
Listen to the rhythm.
Take the cut. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This song, every time they skip it on tour when I see him, I'm so happy.
Are you sick of it?
I'm sick of
I'll
that
tell you
song.
What, at the time, though, I liked the song, but I've heard it so many darn times, you know? So, I think that song sounds a lot like this song, but just the rhythm and the acoustic and the little jingy-jingy-jingies, and I mean, it's right up the same alley, you know?
Yep.
So here they are ripping themselves off again. Now, track 8, let me see here. Track 8 is called, this one. I was at my daughter's soccer game about a month ago, and they were practicing. You know, they have half an hour practice and a half an hour game. They were practicing, and I had my headphones on. I had it on a mix. And as I said, I can't get away from this damn album on a mix, and this song comes on. Track 8, Army of One. I give this one a 1.5, and I don't even know why I give it a 1.5.
I give it. This is my 0.
Is it? Okay. It's fair
this
enough.
This is my 0.
This is close to cheese crap too. Really. We got to hear the chorus and crap on this so people can understand how bad this really is.
This one is like a B-side to The Circle.
Yeah.
You know, something that didn't make the cut of that album. I hate this song.
I'm a soldier. What are you, the Killers? I mean, I got soul, but I'm not a soul. At least that was a good song. This, listen to this, folks. I'd be embarrassed if I was Richie Sambora. I'd be drunk.
You got to know he's got some input in some of this, though. I mean, if you've heard some of the stuff he writes, it gets a little bit on the cheesy side, too. Richie doesn't get off scot-free.
Well, you're right. He had a pretty cheesy song on that solo album.
Last song on that solo album is the worst ever.
But this chorus is... awful.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh yeah. It's
like some sort of a bet they made with this one. It's like, okay, you got to put these phrases into a song, and it's called "Soldier Go," or "Army of One Go."
I think you're right. Track 9. Thick as Thieves. Another slow song. I'm guessing that you like the slow song so much on here that you like this one.
This one is their best ballad in 15 years.
What does it mean? Can you tell me?
Thick as Thieves. They've been through it. Been through the wars together. They're still together.
Until now. Until the release of the album. Yeah, I give this a 1.
I knew you wouldn't like this one. I knew it. When I knew you were going to do this, I knew you were going to rip on this song.
Well, and I didn't really
catch it.
This
is my second favorite one off the whole CD.
The arpeggio on the piano kind of reminds me of Better Roses a little bit, by the way.
Yeah.
I want you to know.
No, this was the solo. It's the Better Roses, sequel to Better Roses guitar solo.
That's fair, too. Okay, that's fair.
That's what I thought.
But it's hard. You have to dig through all the crap to get to stuff that you like on this album. It's awful because of that.
Yeah.
You know,
you can trim it down in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're putting it on your iPod and you're just picking the ones you want to listen to, and you're not going to have the rest of them on there.
But
you can pare it down.
But I'm going to tell you, Matt, I keep it all on my iPod, and the reason that I do that is because what am I going to bitch about when it comes up? I mean, I love to keep it there just so I can complain about, oh, this song sucks, or oh, this stupid lyric, or oh, this horrible guitar solo. Now, here's the very first thing that I noticed the very first time I listened to this record. And I think I know you agree with me. I want Todd's opinion too, because Todd can notice guitar chords and things of that nature too. I gotta get this couple things here. 1 second here. All right, this song here, track 10, "A Beautiful World." Listen to this here, the intro and the verses. I mean, I heard that one time and I said, that is somebody else's song. Listen to this here. This is Matchbox 20 when they still weren't very overly poppy yet. I like this song. Can you believe it?
Oh my god. I haven't listened to it since I've heard that song, but it's
horrible. And I said,
yeah. Can't argue with it.
It's almost as bad as Lady Gaga on that Madonna thing.
Yeah. Yeah. This is awful. Now the chorus takes a different route here. They go into a different thing, but this is Matchbox 20 again. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna set up again to do that, but it's just slower. Beautiful World is, but how? It's unbelievable. I mean, there's no doubt he's heard that song ahead in his head. No doubt about it. And the irony is that it's also about something similar. Now, this is about like the end of the world and let's see how far we've come. And this song, Bon Jovi's, about Beautiful World. I'm waking up at the start of the end of the world, but it's feeling just like every other morning before. Now I just. It's uncanny.
What's funny is you like when you as soon as you mentioned that to me, you pinpointed my biggest problem with Bon Jovi nowadays is that they've turned into Matchbox 20. Not even the good Matchbox 20, but Matchbox 20 after they were a rock band.
You're right. You're right. And I'll tell you, I've known a lot of people that have accused Matchbox 20 of being just like Nickelback or just like Three Doors Down. And I always put Matchbox 20 in a much better category back with those first three albums. And they just turned to poop on this last album. And
you're going to give them three?
What's that?
You're going to give them three?
I give
albums?
Them three. I like the first three albums I thought were fine. Yeah, I really did. You didn't like the third one? I thought
I gave them two.
Yeah, well, I like the third one too. So, but that's just me. It got okay. a little bit poppy. But it wasn't until Rob Thomas started doing the solo thing with his own stuff, a couple of solo albums and stuff, that it got really bad. But anyway, so yeah. Unbelievable how much that song sounds like Matchbox 20's How Far We've Come. So got a couple more here real quick that I'm not giving them very good, just awful. Bear with me here. Here's something else I want to say about John Bon Jovi and about Bon Jovi and the way they are these days. Quality over quantity. Okay, this album doesn't need 15 songs. Okay, how about just 10 good ones instead of like two good ones and, you know, 13 crappy ones? Don't you agree?
Yeah, I've said it. It was after The Circle or right when The Circle came on. I'm like, all right, now I've always like a new Bon Jovi album, but they officially need to go on like a 4-5 year break.
Yeah,
because when they do, then the CD comes back and they're a lot better.
Right
because I think they get to edit themselves a little bit, but when they're putting one out every 2 years,
oh,
not good.
It's not good at all, and this just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And now you like this song?
No.
Okay, I actually gave it a 2, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I would give it to.
And I wrote this note down, too. This reminds me of something off of John Bon Jovi's solo album in 1997. I know you're familiar with that record.
Yeah, yeah, the Destination Anywhere.
Yeah, which every song sounded the same on that album to me, too.
I like that CD. This one's not near as good as that stuff.
You may be right. So this is kind of a... And then the next one,
yeah,
I know you like number 12. This was on what movie?
Oh.
The Fighter. This is called The Fighter.
No, this isn't a movie one.
Oh, what was it? But
I'll look it up before we get to it.
Okay. So number 12, this is The Fighter here. Okay. Now you like this song.
I hated it at first, but it's kind of grown on me a little bit.
It's actually grown on me a little bit too, so I give it a 2. But it's nothing special.
No, it's not, but it's okay.
Okay. So there's this song, and this is, again, the album gets a little bit draggy towards the end. Slow and draggy at the end here. Here's track 13. This song is called With These Two Hands, and I gave it a 2 because I don't mind it, but I don't like it that much. I don't understand it. What do you think about this song, Matt?
It's okay.
It's one of those middle-of-the-road songs again.
Yeah.
They just sound like all the other ones.
The Skipper. If I got the CD in there and I only get to listen to 4 songs out of that, this isn't going to be one of them.
I understand. What 4 songs do you listen to?
The second one, 2.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Uh-huh, 5. Mm-hmm.
Thick as Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the one he did for the soundtrack, I do like that song. Running Anymore. We haven't
gotten
there
that's
yet.
That's the one from the movie soundtrack. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it wasn't The Fighter that he performed on. They performed on a TV show.
On Letterman.
Yeah.
No, it was. It's not Running Anymore.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's from the movie Stand Up Guys. That's an Al Pacino movie.
Okay. So this song, Middle of the Road. This next one's called Fort. This is not Running Anymore right here. This one. Okay. This is the slow one that was on. Okay.
Yeah. You sensing a trend, though? I think the slow stuff is better.
And it's all the ones I gave ones to. This is another one for me. It's not a bad song if you don't mind hearing John sing about how tough life is or whatever. I don't know.
Well, you know, they're better when they're not trying to be preachy, and they're also not trying too hard to do another anthem like It's My Life or
right.
something like that.
Like Because We Can? Exactly. And, and people need to understand something. We understand that it's not cool as a man to like Bon Jovi in your 30s and 40s.
But it has been cool ever, like Bon Jovi.
Probably. I don't know. Man, when I was 17, 16, 15, 16, 17 years old, I mean, I don't care what Todd says, Bon Jovi was it. And you were a stoner if you didn't like Bon Jovi, okay? You were that pot-smoking, punk rock, freaking, yeah. I don't believe you, Todd.
There was no pot-smoking, punk rock attitude if you're a metalhead that loved, like, King Diamond or Iron Maiden, because if you listen to Bon Jovi, you were a dang poser.
No. See, that Iron was different now. Different. It was different in Iowa. I'm just telling you right now. Everybody liked Bon Jovi unless you were the pot-smoking. See, when I was in high school, if you smoked cigarettes, you were a stoner. See? So I didn't smoke, so I wasn't a stoner. If you smoked and you smelled like smoke all the time and you wore trench coats and stuff like that, you were a stoner. Regardless of whether you smoked pot or not, you were a stoner. And you didn't like Bon Jovi, probably. But those are the only people that didn't like Bon Jovi. The jocks liked Bon Jovi. The guys who didn't play sport, the guys in band liked Bon Jovi. Everybody liked Bon Jovi when I was in high school. Plus, Todd, you're older than I am. You're like really old.
I've always caught so much crap from being a Bon Jovi fan. Always.
Yeah.
And it's always from my friends. They're like, their favorite band is like Tool or some singer-songwriter that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
So I don't take them seriously.
No. I mean, you can't. And
is that Todd?
No, that was me. I beeped that before I came on here. Old Habits Die Hard. This is the 15th track on the album. I give this one a 1. Matt?
I'm trying to remember this one. At least you got freedom in an open outfit. It is, like you said, it is draggy at the end of it.
It is very draggy. Now, let's read and see what some of the popular music review places gave it. All Music gave it a 2 out of 5. Daily Express gave it a 2 out of 5. The Guardian gave it a 3 out of 5, which is awfully generous. Now, of course, Rolling Stone gave it a 3 out of 5. The Observer gave it 2 out of 5. Time Out, 2 out of 5. And Virgin Media gave it a 3 out of 5. But Virgin Media, I think, is actually connected to record labels, which doesn't surprise me much at all. So here's some iTunes reviews, though, as well. Let's see here. What we got here? Let me read some of this stuff. Maybe it's not iTunes reviews. I beg your pardon. But it does say here, critical reception of the album has been mixed to negative, while Caroline Sullivan from The Guardian states, quote, the band have reached out with the sort of empowering platitudes and riffage that will give fans on this summer stadium tour something to punch the air about. Okay. Stefan Unwin from the Daily Express was less favorable, claiming that the album, quote, is the closest thing to predictable from the poster boys of American rock and roll, which for their most myopic fans is the closest thing to wonderful. And that's just it. All of those diehard fans are going to be, hey, it's great, it's Bon Jovi. Happens a lot with bands, you know. Another guy named Phil from the Toronto Star criticized the track Army of One for finding them descending into lyrical self-parody with its never give up motif hammered home artlessly. While the title track's guitar hook nods too much to Kraftwerk's Computer Love and by extension Coldplay's Talk. James Manning from Time Out believes that the band won't win any new fans with their 12th album, but they're unlikely to lose many either. Kim Carr and James Kabuter were positive, stating that Bon Jovi are back to their rock roots on their best album for 20 years.
All right. That's ridiculous.
Ian Gittins from Virgin Media thought the band's perennial propensity for cliches and Hollywood blockbuster-style happy endings invariably make it difficult to take Bon Jovi as seriously as they crave. Though he later admits that there are some good tunes, it's a decent soft rock party album. Soft rock party album. Interesting. It's probably also about time that Bon Jovi knew their limits. For Stephen Erlewine from AllMusic, he says, quote, there aren't so many big hooks on What About Now, just the raise your fist anthem of Because We Can, with most of the sweetest melodies coming from the softer, quieter moments, such as the acoustic The Fighter. So, some of those critics are in agreement with you, Magic Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was right.
Yeah.
Long story short, I'm right.
You're always right. You're always right. Let's close the show before we run the end of our end of music. End of show music. I got one more thing for you real quick. Have you ever heard of the Uncle John bathroom readers?
No, can't say I have.
Uncle John's bathroom reader has a huge series of books out. They are basically called bathroom readers. They are put in a bathroom to pick up while you are sitting on the toilet doing your thing. Okay? And they have a bunch of interesting facts in them, and they've gotten continuously better. And I got one for Christmas for my mother, and or maybe my wife. Probably my mother. I don't remember who gave this to me, actually, but it doesn't really matter. Thank you, whichever woman in my life gave this to me. And it's very fun to just open it up to a page and start reading, because it's generally you find something interesting. And every time I've opened it up so far, I've said, hey, I really should be doing this on the show. So I thought we'd close tonight's show after that horrible, horrible Bon Jovi album review and open it up to a page and see what it has to say. So I've opened it up. We could pick either 97, page 97 is football, or page 98 is Europe. And I think I know we're going to pick page 97, football. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, of course.
Who wants to read about Europe? Here we go. The football huddle was invented at a university for the deaf to keep the opposing team from seeing their hand signs. Interesting.
Hmm.
Who knew? I bet you didn't know that.
Did not know that.
It takes 3,000 cows to supply the NFL with enough leather for a year's supply of footballs. 3,000 cows. Yep. John Heisman of Trophy fame, Heisman Trophy, coined the word hike and split football games into four quarters. Did not know that about Mr. Heisman. Top ticket price to the first Super Bowl in 1967. How much was the top ticket price to the Super Bowl in 1967, Matt?
$100.
$12.
No.
Yes, because it wasn't that popular back then. See?
That's true. I'm still thinking of too big of an event.
Exactly. Top price in 2005 was $500.
Huh.
For one
ticket.
That's
the top?
Back in 2005. Remember, that was 8 years ago.
Still, that seems low.
It does seem low, but that's what they say, and Uncle John's never wrong.
Okay, I believe you.
I don't know. NFL great Vince Lombardi coined the phrase game plan. Okay.
Believe it.
Yeah, I can believe that too. Football has more rules than any other American sport. Yeah. In 1888, Yale football coach Walter Camp fell ill. His wife coached for the entire season. That was
okay.
1888, yes. Mm-hmm. Deion Sanders is the only man to play in what and what?
Play in what and what?
Yes, I'm going to let you finish that. Deion Sanders is the only man to ever play in the blank and the blank.
In the Super Bowl and the World Series.
Very good, Matt. I knew you could do that. I'm very proud.
Thank
of you. You deserve a ding right there. So,
bet Todd didn't know that one.
Oh, no way he did. There is a 100% injury rate among professional football players. What does that mean?
Everybody's hurt all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I believe that.
Yeah, that's probably true. In the NFL, the host team must have 26 footballs inflated and ready.
Wow, that's interesting.
The former Los Angeles Rams were the first football team to have emblems on their helmets.
It's
funny. Yeah, because it's funny because it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, think about it. Yeah, they said the LA Rams were the first team to ever have an emblem actually on their football helmet. Yeah.
Huh.
9 of the 15 highest rated television shows in history have been NFL championship games. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the last item I have here, so few Heisman Trophy winners have made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How many do you think, by the way? How many Heisman Trophy winners have made it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including O.J. Simpson?
4.
No, only 10. Ten have made it. So they don't have them listed here, but they say that prize has been called the kiss of death for college players, as we already kind of know, that Heisman Trophy. I suppose did Peyton Manning win it?
No. Nope.
He didn't win it, did he?
Nope.
Who did win it that year? Remember? Ricky Williams?
Yeah, might have been.
Well, was that 99?
Is that about right? No, Ricky came in late after Peyton Manning.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I'm looking that up.
Please do. Please look that up while we begin a little bit of closing music here. And I also want to mention, while you look that up, I have one more thing to mention about baseball. I've talked about this. I've now talked about this with my wife, Matt, and she agrees too. It's probably a good time to remove umpires from baseball as much as we can. She agrees that you can see that. You could do. Look, here's what I don't know if I said this part before, but it came to me the other night watching a game. I said, hey, if they can show us Fox Tracks and they can show us where the pitch was at based on what the umpire called, there's no reason why Fox Tracks or whatever can't just call balls and strikes, number one. Okay? That there's no reason why they can't just say, well, it's not accurate. Well, it's accurate enough. It's more accurate than the freaking umpire, number one. Number two, put some kind of a computer chip in the ball, the base, the gloves, and let the force outs be determined by what happens with inside the ball and the glove and the base. It could be done. The umpires are only needed for certain little things, like the tag outs maybe and stuff like that. I'm telling you, we could get rid of umpires. We could do it. What did you find out about Heisman Trophy winners?
You know, I want to say one thing about the umpires.
Yes, please, go ahead.
I generally would disagree with you, but after the watching the umpiring in the Royals-Red Sox series, the weekend of the all of the Boston happenings.
Yes.
Awful.
I know.
Just awful. Clearly,
doing everything they could to help the Red Sox.
Favor on, yes. Favor, want to make everybody in Boston happy,
yep.
Even if it meant it was 6 inches off the plate.
Absolutely. It's horrid. Absolutely horrid. Yeah. Tell us, who won the Heisman Trophy when Peyton Manning was in the running?
Can I save it for my three things?
Please do.
Can I start my three things?
Please do.
Number one.
Yes.
The only thing more predictable than a new Bon Jovi anthem is that Magic Matt still hesitates to criticize them.
Oh, it's awful, but not as bad as some people I know.
Okay. Yeah, that's
good.
True.
Very good.
Number two, no matter what Brad says about What About Now, he still loves Bon Jovi. Admit it.
I love Richie.
Admit it.
No.
You love Bon Jovi. Oh, you say it.
John.
You say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
You say it.
J-O-N John. Bon Jovi. No. 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 Give me number three.
Number three, Charles Woodson,
yes,
won the Heisman Trophy during Peyton Manning's senior year. Manning finished second.
That's right. That's right. And also, Peyton Manning in his senior year lost to the Nebraska Cornhuskers as the Cornhuskers won themselves another national championship. The next year, Tennessee did win themselves a national championship, if I recall correctly. And that was quarterbacked by, that's right, the NFL failure, T. Martin. That's right. You know T. Martin. T. Martin was a...
Hello, dear. I'm a failure.
And with that, yes, you remember that? You remember that? You're going to have to confirm all that for me, too, but we got to end the show. So I'm pretty sure I've got all that right there. So go ahead and wiki me.
I think you're right.
I think I do. So,
you want me to double check it?
Go ahead and double check it. We'll do it off the air. It's okay. We don't have time because the song is running out. We got issues here. So I am Brad Westbar. Thank you and good night. We love you.
Won't talk to me now.